Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Don't you love to praise his name? Man, 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 that choir sounded wonderful. Hallelujah. That young man singing, I need to give him a few singing lessons. Amen. Praise the Lord. No, I don't think so. Glory to God. Don't you love the Lord tonight? Amen. We appreciate the goodness of the Lord, and we appreciate you giving tonight. I just want to mention one thing. I was flying in Jamaica, and we were actually leaving. And one of the Jamaicans, one of the young men that picks me up and brings me back to the airport, his name's Leon. And we were on our way to the airport, and I asked him one day, I said, Leon, I said, how'd you get saved? He was already saved. He said, Pastor T, he said, one morning I was in school, and a white missionary came, and he gave devotion that morning on John 3:16. I said, are you serious? He said, yeah. I said, did you know his name? He said, no. I said, have you ever seen him again? He said, no. He said, all I know is a white missionary came that morning in school, and he spoke on John 3:16, and I gave my heart to the Lord. That's what it's all about right there, isn't it? You know, it's not about building a church, even though we want people to come to church. It's about building this kingdom. Amen. That he gets the glory. Whoever that missionary was, I know he's got one soul saved already. Amen. But that's what we want to be about. Amen. And it's all worth it, isn't it? Hallelujah. Worship the Lord as my wife ministers in song.
I love the Lord, and thankful to be here. This is on. Thankful to be here. I'm thankful to feel his presence. There's not a day that goes by that I don't want to be in the presence of God and his presence be in me, because it's his presence that is the difference. It doesn't just make the difference. It is the difference. And it's his presence that abides within us that allows us to carry this gospel, not just to foreign soil, not just to different churches, but when we're in Walmart, when we're in the restaurant, and we see somebody, and you find that open door to tell them about Jesus and what he can do for them. I'm just so thankful for what he's done in my life, and I just want to avail myself for him. And you know, Pastor preached this morning about getting out of the bondage and going on into victory, and not doing things our way but God's way, not giving up when the tough times come. And truly, we all face very tough times in these last moments of time that we have. But the word says it's going to be he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. And there comes some fight when endurance is involved. I think of Paul and Silas when they were preaching about Christ. It was during that time that the men arose up and said, no, you have to stop what you're doing. You know, we're facing that today. We are facing that. The true child of God is facing that today. You can't say the name Jesus. You can't do what you're doing when it involves Jesus. Well, that's what Paul and Silas were faced with. But you know what they did? They did it the more so. Well, it cost them prison. And as they were in prison, they had been beaten. Their backs were laid open. It was during the midnight hour, the word says, that Paul and Silas began to pray and sing, not just sing, the word says, sing praises. And it's during those times, in the hard times of our life, if we will but sing praises and pray, that the Lord will, the Bible says, and suddenly the jail was shaken. God will bring us suddenly in our lives. You all worship the Lord. Hallelujah. You see in prisoners chains with bleeding stripes, Paul and Silas, They prayed that night, and in their pain they began to sing. Their chains were loosed and they were free. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor. I give you praise. You are the life, the truth, the way. I bless your name. I bless your name. Some midnight hour, if you should find you're in a prison in your mind, just reach out and praise, defy those chains and they will fall in Jesus' name. I bless your name, Lord. Yes, I bless your name. I give you honor. I give you praise, for you are the life, you're the truth, the way. I bless your name. I bless your name. Some midnight hour, if you should find you're in a prison in your mind, just reach out and praise, defy those chains and they will fall. Yes, they will. Oh, in Jesus' name. I bless your name, Lord. Yes, we bless your name. We give you honor. We give you the praise. See, Lord, you're still the life. You're still the way. We bless your name. Yes, we bless your name. You are the life. You're the truth, the way. I bless your name. I bless your name.
Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands to him tonight. Oh, let's bless his name in this house. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to God. He's worthy, he's worthy, he's worthy. Praise Jesus. Glory to God. He's worthy, he's worthy. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise his name. Glory to God. Let's stand tonight for the reading of the word. Appreciate the music, the musicians tonight. Amen. I thought I was going to preach on missions, but I'm not. I'm just going to obey the Lord tonight. Is that all right with you? Amen. If you come here for an answer tonight, you're in the right place. Jesus is the answer. We know that. But I believe God wants to help somebody. It's kind of a continuation of this morning's message, as I believe God wants to do something. Amen. Let's pray right now. Lord, we love you. We thank you, God, for this precious opportunity to minister your word. Lord, I ask you to anoint your servant tonight. God, speak to our hearts, anoint our hearts to receive. God, I ask you to give me clarity of thought, and Lord, give us clarity of thought in the congregation tonight, God. Lord, I rebuke every hindrance in the name of Jesus right now. God, we plead the blood over this service, Lord, for there's power in the blood. Lord, we thank you, God, for what you've done this morning, but we believe you're going to finish it tonight, God. And we pray that you bless Union Road Pentecostal Church in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Luke chapter 23, verse 26. We'll start reading from there. Verse 26 says, as they led him away, talking about Jesus, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country. And on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in which they shall say, blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bear and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. You could be seated tonight. Look at verse number 26. And I read all these verses because we'll be relating to these through the message tonight, but says, and as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. Another account of this gospel, or in the gospels of this story, says they compelled Simon to bear that cross. The thought tonight is the unexpected cross. You see, there's a scripture there in John chapter 7, verse 33, and says Jesus was spending the last days with the disciples. And this is what he said. He said, yet a little while I am with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. You see, the disciples didn't realize how much little time they had with Jesus at this moment of time, because you know that they thought that he was going to be that earthly king that's going to rule over that Roman Empire that day, and they didn't understand the whole plan of salvation or redemption at this moment of time as it became unfolded to them after the day of Pentecost or after the resurrection. But as Jesus was sharing that with them, the Bible records that after that it took place, he went into the garden. And there we know they begin to pray and begin to ask the Lord that this cup would pass from me. And then we know that I'm just laying this down for a moment. We know that is where they came and they arrested Jesus somewhere in the nighttime. And that's very important that you remember that tonight. And then the Bible says they take him to the high priest's house, somewheres toward the middle of the night, and there they put him on trial. And one of the things that you read about in the scripture, it says they took Jesus and they blindfolded him and they began to slap him with their hands. You know, one time I read that, I thought, Lord, they'll never blindfold you again. I can promise you that. Amen. But as they sit there and they interrogated Jesus all through the night, you see, he was very man. He was very God. We know that he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He felt everything, every pain, every slap in the face. The weariness of the body had set in by the time the sun began to rise. And there they took him. From there they took him to Pilate's judgment hall. And there they you know, the trial began to take place there. That political trial, if you please. And then there we get to our scripture that the Bible says they led him out to be crucified. You see, he's been up all night. He's been through the whipping of the cat of nine tails. His body's been battered and bruised. Amen. It's kind of like if you've seen Jesus at this moment of time, you wouldn't ask the question, who is this? You'd ask, what is that? Because they have beaten him so bad. And so now, here he is, they're leading him out. And it appears in the scripture there that maybe under that, as they lay that old wooden beam upon his shoulders, that he collapsed under the load of it. Or maybe he was so weak within his body that he could not walk down that Via Dolorosa up to the place called Golgotha or Calvary. Amen. And so they were so much in a rush to try to get rid of Jesus. And under the pain and the pressure, I could just see as they're leading him up that road that day to be crucified. There that somehow maybe he fell under the load of that cross. And there's probably thousands of people that have lined the streets up that day to watch those criminals go up to Golgotha's hill. You see, they had crucified many by this time. But all of a sudden, as he falls under the load, the Roman soldiers, their thinking is, we've got to help this man, or we've got to get rid of him real quick, or he's going to die right on the spot. And so they begin to pan the crowd that day. They begin to look at the crowd. And all of a sudden, they notice a young man by the name of Simon. And they grab him and they force him and they put the cross upon his shoulders. Amen. And there he begins to bear that cross. One commentary says that, oh, he bore it with Jesus. Another one says that he bore it by himself for a little while. But there that day, that young man experienced an unexpected cross. Amen. He never expected that to happen in his life. He was there. Amen. Maybe he had his family. He was there maybe for the Passover. But he just become a spectator that day. But all of a sudden, he's yanked out of the crowd and a cross is laid upon him. Amen. An unexpected cross. You see, I thought about when I read that, I thought, Lord, why? I thought you didn't need any help, amen, to bear that cross. Yeah, I thought you're supposed to do it all by yourself. But can I tell you, beloved, that was not his cross. That was my cross. That was Simon's cross. Amen. That was not Jesus' cross. That was your cross and my cross. He was bearing that day. Hallelujah. But oh, Simon experienced an unexpected cross that day. How did I get in this position, God? How did I get here? It's a question. Have you ever asked that question as you walk with God and you go through life and all of a sudden an unexpected cross is laid upon your shoulders and you say, God, how did I get here? How did this happen in my life? I've done that. You see, there are some crosses that I expect to bear. Because Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself. He may take up his cross and follow me. But there are times in our lives that sometimes that an unexpected cross is laid upon our shoulders that we don't understand. Amen. It could be a bad doctor report. It could be maybe a spouse walks out on you and says, I'm leaving this house. Amen. That unexpected cross. You never expected it, but it happened. It happened. It's happened to all of us. It's happened to me. But there's something I want to show you in the scripture here that we can understand something from Simon. You see, he did not expect that. I believe the Bible says they compel him, because I believe the moment he touches that cross, oh, he breaks the law. And he becomes contaminated, if you please. He becomes unclean. No wonder, amen, they compel him. They're forcing him to take that cross, amen. But he takes that according to the scripture here. And it's that unexpected cross. But the question is, Simon, how did you make it? How did you make it? Well, let me show you something. Amen. First of all, you got to know, Simon, Jesus already felt the load of it. The Lord has already felt the load of that cross. Amen. He's already felt. He knows exactly what it weighs. He knows the burden and the bearing of it. He knows what it is. I believe that they may have shoved it on his shoulders first and maybe begin to walk out. And under the batter of his body, the bruise of his body, the weariness of his body, he fell on that load. And all of a sudden, they yanked Simon out. Amen. Simon, you got to know that Jesus has already felt the load. He knows exactly what you're feeling. Hallelujah. He knows about that cross. Amen. He's done taking the brunt of it. Oh, Simon, you got to know that he's already felt the load. Not only that, I believe maybe he maybe helped share the load. Maybe Simon was there all by himself as he began to bear that old cross. But all of a sudden, the mangled body of Jesus come up beside him and just kind of help lift the load there. Hallelujah. Oh, Simon, son, this is mine. I'm taking this to Calvary for you. Hallelujah. Amen. You don't have to bear it alone. Oh, whoever you are tonight, amen, I know this is simple, but it's what God wants. Amen. You may have received an unexpected cross and you feel like you're dragging it all by yourself, but if you'll just hang on, I believe you'll feel the Son of God come up beside you. Brother Hurst said it this morning. He puts his head in the yoke along with you and walk with you. He's there to bear the load with you, beloved. You don't have to bear it by yourself. No, sir. You don't have to bear it by yourself. Amen. Jesus carried it first. But not only that, I believe Simon was prepared for the task. See, the Bible says that Simon, a Cyrenian coming out of the country, he came out of the country. Now, the translation of that is, he come out of a field or he come off a farm. Simply meant that he's been working somewheres. Amen. Now, I'm a city boy. I'm not a country boy. But I know if you're a country boy, amen, if you baled hay, if you worked in the field, you plucked corn, you picked cotton, I promise you that was work. Amen. Oh, yes, sir. But all those days that Simon was working in the field, amen, getting that dark tan, working out in the sun, working hard, building up the physique of that body, amen, that one day that God is going to use that. I believe God was preparing him for the task. Amen. I said God was preparing him, church. Amen. The same with you tonight. You say, preacher, I'm under an unexpected cross, but God has prepared you for that moment. You can bear it, beloved. I said you can bear it. As that Roman soldier began to pan the crowd, he said, I've got to have somebody that can handle this. Simon, you got the physique. You look like a young man that can handle it. But Simon, God was preparing you for that moment. God was preparing you. It's like old Esther. She was a beautiful woman, wasn't she? I'm going to tell you something, ladies. God didn't make her beautiful to chase every Tom and Harry. God made her beautiful for a reason. One day he's going to use that. I said God was preparing her. Amen. God was preparing her to stand before the king. Oh, Xerxes, however you say his name. Amen. God prepared her for that moment the same way as Simon. Oh, before David ever fought Goliath, he fought a bear and he fought a lion. You know what God was doing? He's preparing him for that moment. Hallelujah. You say, preacher, how did I ever get in this situation? God was preparing you. Every experience that you went through in the past, God had a reason. He had a purpose. He's got a purpose for it. If you'll just hang on, son of God, if you'll trust God, he'll see you through. Hallelujah. Oh, there's victory in it. If you'll just hang on. He prepared him for that moment. Amen. Not only that, listen to this. Jesus bore it first. Then I believe the Lord helped him. But I believe Simon's prepared for that moment. But the Bible says, when they came to the place, I don't see Simon nowhere to be found. You didn't get that point. When they came, the Bible says, they led Jesus out. And then they compelled Simon out of the crowd. And they laid that cross upon him. But then we get to the end of the text there. It says, and when they came to the place, nowhere do I find Simon being crucified upon that cross. Amen. What happened was a place of deliverance came between where he picked up the cross and before he got to Calvary. Somewheres Jesus picked up that cross and said, son, I'll take it from here. I'll take it from here. You don't have to bear the load any longer. I will take it from here, beloved. I'm telling you, if you got an unexpected cross, your day of deliverance is on the way. If you'll just hang on, hallelujah. He's not out to kill you. He's not out to crucify you. He's got a work for you to do. There is a place that you will get out from under the load of that unexpected cross if you stay faithful. Oh, if you stay faithful. I said, there is a place. See, I don't read about Simon. No, sir. Amen. I don't read about Simon being crucified. Paul said, for our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, amen, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. If we'll just hang on a while, beloved, there is a place of deliverance. I promise you that. Amen. God's working it out for our good. He will make a way of escape. As Pastor preached this morning, amen. You may be under the load right now. I believe Jesus came up and helped him. But eventually he said, son, I'll take it from here. If you'll just trust me, I'll bear this load. It's all about me, son. Just trust me. Listen to this. But not only that, I believe this is the most important part right here. The Bible says, and there followed him a great company of people and of women which also bewailed and lamented him. While I'm carrying that unexpected cross, people are watching me. I said, people are watching me. People are watching you. This is the opportunity to win a soul for Jesus right here. What do you mean? As they laid that unexpected cross upon him, the crowd is there watching. How is Simon going to react to it? Is he going to throw it off of him? Is he going to get mad and point his finger at God and said, God, it's your fault that I've got this? Amen. There's some here tonight. You've said that before. You pointed your finger at God and you said, it's your fault that I've got this. Oh, listen, your behavior, amen, is being seen by everyone. When you receive that unexpected cross, I know when I pastored for 10 years at Faithful Assembly in Vider, I'm telling
telling you that there were times that I had an unexpected cross and my congregation was watching me. How do I react to that? The crowd was watching Simon that day. How will he react to that unexpected cross? Will he throw it off? Will he quit going to church? Will he say, God, it's your fault? Listen, saints, if you hang on, there's victory on the way. Somebody may get saved. I remember traveling with the choir, OBI. I don't know why they didn't want me, they want my wife. Amen, I can't sing. We was married. I remember enrolled in the Bible school. I'm there that morning. David Branham comes to the school. He didn't say, how you doing? Where you been? What's going on? He said, where's your wife at? I said, what do you mean? I said, she ain't coming to school. She going to work and pay my way through here. No, she's coming to school. Amen. So I made her take a class so we can get in the choir. Now, don't get all upset because you didn't make it. Amen. I said, don't get upset because you didn't make it. Hallelujah. I don't know how I made it either. Oh, thank God. But we're one. Praise the Lord. Oh, but I remember we was on 3-week tour. We was in that old bus. We was going out to Colorado. We was out there. We just got through singing at Colorado Springs, I believe it was. Somewhere up in that area. Brother Gary Thomas's church. We were up there. We got about 2 hours down the road and the bus broke down. We're talking about March in the mountains of Colorado. Old Brother Dale Moore's driving that bus. He got that old bus on the side of the road. We're on the main highway. It's about, I don't know, maybe 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And all of a sudden they call a mechanic. The mechanic said, we'll be out there as soon as we can get out there. Oh, about 2 hours roll around, he ain't showed up yet. About 3 hours roll around, the mechanic ain't showed up yet, but the coldness has showed up. We have no heater on that bus. Amen. Some of the Bible school students, oh, they're climbing the mountain. They're having a good time, but I'm sitting in that bus freezing to death. Amen. I'm praying, God, you got to send that mechanic right now. Oh, about 4 hours, he hadn't showed up. 5 hours, way in the middle of the night, that mechanic finally shows up. 10 hours later, amen, you talk about an unexpected cross for Brother Dale Moore, for Brother Benny Tarbert. I'm about froze to death. I'm sitting there. I'm wondering, man, that mechanic, he ought to be fired. He told us he'd be here about 10 hours ago, and he shows up 10 hours later. He ought to be fired. He walks to the back of that bus. He opens that big door, and he says, oh, here's your problem. Flip. The safety switch turned off. I said, you got to be kidding me. Don't look at me. You'd be upset too. Somebody said, you got in the flesh because you're redheaded. No. Oh, you got mad because you're red. No, I just got in the flesh. Hey, man, ain't got nothing to do with red hair. Hallelujah. I've seen some of no hair get mad. Oh, thank God. It ain't got nothing to do with hair. Hallelujah. But, oh, I'm sitting on that bus freezing to death. I said, Brother David, you got to be kidding me. All it was a little flip button. I said, man, that's crazy. Oh, about 2 o'clock in the morning, we're taking off through Colorado. Oh, we wore out, froze to death. About 2 hours later, we pull over to a Denny's early in the morning. Hey, man, I mean, the girl's hair sticking up everywhere. My hair sticking up everywhere. We look like a bunch of wild Indians pulling into Denny's. Been in the mountains all night. We're hungry. We pull in there. There ain't nobody in there but 5 Spanish boys. We walk in there. Them boys tell us, they said, are y'all a singing group? Well, some of them boys said, yeah, we're a singing group. Yeah. I said, they said, we are too. We just sang at some gig down the road down there, some nightclub. Hey, man, they were in there. You could tell they were a little tipsy a little bit. But it's some kind of party. But they were a little Spanish band. Amen. And they asked, they said, listen, they said, we'll have you sing us a song. We looked at each other. I don't know Spanish. Amen. Old brother, old sister Jane Harris married Paul Nix. Amen. She knew a little bit of Spanish. And another young lady in the choir. They taught us, because he lives, in Spanish. Is that the song? Amen. Because he lives. There we are in the middle of Denny's. By 4 o'clock in the morning, we're singing because he lives in Spanish. And the power of God come down in Denny's. Amen. And those five young men got saved there in Denny's restaurant. Hallelujah. I'm telling you. Oh, you say, why you say that, preacher? I tell you, it was an unexpected cross. But God was preparing us for that moment. Hallelujah. Oh, it's worth it. I said, we're all wore out. We're tired. But five Spanish boys get saved in the middle of Denny's. It's worth it, brother. That's why God reached his hand down and flipped a switch on that bus and said, I've got five boys I want to reach. The same with you. You may have an unexpected cross, but God, he has somebody he wants to reach. They're watching you. How will you respond? Oh, how you respond. You see, that's the key right there. They're watching us. Hey, I said, they're watching us. You see, the Bible says this was an unexpected cross for Simon, but I believe that it brought salvation to his home. Amen. You look at the scripture. Mark chapter 15, verse 21. This is the same account of this story, but this is what Mark says. He says, and they compelled one, Simon a Cyrenian, who passed by coming out of the country. There it is. The father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. Amen. I don't believe his family was saved, Brother Hurst, until this time. Amen. Till after this unexpected cross. Matter of fact, Paul said later on in Romans chapter 16, he said, salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord. That Simon, one of his sons, chosen the Lord, and his mother in mine. Hallelujah. I believe not only did Simon experience an unexpected cross, but oh, I believe that day salvation came to his house. Hallelujah. I believe when he touched the blood of Jesus, something changed his life. I can see Rufus and Alexander that day crying, don't take my daddy, don't take my daddy, because if he touches that cross, he's not coming back. But he came back that day a different father. I said he came back a different father when he touched that cross of Calvary. Oh, the malefactors, that wouldn't have made a difference. But he touched the Son of God's cross, the one that had that spotless blood already upon that beam, running down that beam. And Simon, not only did he touch that cross, but I believe he had to touch the blood. He had to come in contact with the blood of the Son of God. But all salvation came to his soul, to his home. Amen. They say Rufus and Alexander became workers in the early church. Their mothers were saved, according to Paul. But it all had to do with that unexpected cross. Listen, beloved, people are watching us. Mom and dad, your children are watching you. How you respond to that unexpected cross, to that trial that you have to bear. Oh, don't blame God. Say, God, help me through this. Let my children see the victory in this. Oh, let them see that unexpected cross that he had to bear that day. Amen. We must be faithful in that time. That's when the times are proven, saints. That's where God can make a way of escape. There's been times I said, God, why me? Why this? I was preaching a youth camp down at Forts Lake Camp in Mississippi. And there was a young man there. The young man, he's my age. Brother Donnie Suggs. Some of y'all may know him, I don't know. But another friend of mine's evangelist, Brother Ronnie Jarman, was preaching a revival down in Live Oak, Florida. And there, on that Sunday morning, they sent their children. They had teenage, Brother Suggs had two teenage daughters. Brother Ronnie Jarman had a teenage daughter and a 10-year-old or 9-year-old son. But the pastor's daughters drove. They're on their way to the church that morning. The pastor and the evangelist already got to the church. But all the pastor and evangelist in the church, and somebody come running there and said, hey, there's been a terrible accident down the road, so you need to come check it out. When they got down there, it was Brother Suggs' daughter's car. She had somehow swerved off the road. It was raining that day. She hit a tree. And when those preachers got there, they were hauling their bodies off in a bag, on a stroller. They're one of them, whatever you call them things. What? Gurney, yeah. They already had them wrapped up. Said only one that survived was Brother Jarman's daughter. They flew her to Jacksonville, Florida Hospital. But Brother Ronnie Jarman, they watched his boy. He watched his boy as they load him up. He's dead. The officer wouldn't let him look at his son. The pastor's two daughters were killed in that accident. The evangelist's daughter was killed in that accident. I said all that to say this. I was in preaching this youth camp. Brother Donnie Suggs was there. And after all this had happened, he developed a liver disease and had almost died. After he had lost his two daughters, he almost died. Amen. On top of that, the church's pastor wasn't long. They got upset with him and voted him out. Voted him out of his church. I mean, a young man done been through hell. About to die now, and he's a liver transplant. Well, eventually he got a liver transplant. His pastor, another church there in Mississippi. But I'm sitting at the table with him. I said, Brother Suggs, I know what he's been through at this time. You talk about an unexpected cross laid upon that pastor, that preacher. I said, my Lord, amen, I can't imagine what he's going through. Oh, after all this, but yet he's at that youth camp with a smile on his face. I said, Brother Donnie Suggs, I said, you ever point your finger at God and say, why, God, I don't deserve this? He said, no, Brother Torbert, I never pointed my finger at God. Amen. But he said, one night I was in the shower and a million demons were coming out my mind. Amen. I couldn't seem to get the victory because that unexpected cross. But he said, I looked up, I pointed my finger at God. He said, God, I'll trust you through it no matter what. He said, immediately God gave him the victory right there. Hallelujah. Oh, I believe God said, son, you'll not have to bear the cross all the way. I'll come down and I'll bear it for you. I will help you. But his wife was watching him. His church was watching him. Everybody was watching him. But what a testimony that he made it. And he's making it. It's still a trial. You can make it, beloved, with your unexpected cross if you'll just continue to trust God. Oh, if you'll just continue to trust him. Simon, he said, you can trust me. Come the piano. See, that unexpected cross, you see, you're prepared for that moment. You may be sitting there right now saying, preacher, I can't make it. I don't know if I can do it any longer. I don't know if I can bear it any longer. But you can. Listen, the greatest part about that, people are watching me. People are watching you, what you're doing. They know when you go through trials. They know exactly when you're faced with something. Amen. When I was pastoring, in 9 months, I buried my mother-in-law, my mom, and my own baby. I preached my mama's funeral, and I preached my own baby's funeral. In 9 months, those three passed away. You talk about a trial. You talk about an unexpected trial. Unexpected cross. Amen. Both of my mother and my mother-in-law, she died. They both died with cancer. My mother-in-law died in my house. I watched her take her last breath. Go out into eternity with God. We sang with her in the way to heaven. Hallelujah. What a day that was. Oh, I'd give anything to have her back, but she ain't gonna come back. She'd rather stay where she's at. But that was an unexpected cross. People are watching us. People are watching you, how you respond to your cross. There's some things that I know I've got to bear. Just being in the ministry sometimes, it's a cross. I know there are things we have to face being in the ministry. But there are some things that I don't expect to face, but I do. They're right there laid upon me. The church I was pastoring, their inviter, our piano player, she come in one night, she said, pastor, you need to pray. She had a 20-year-old son who was living with her, said he ain't been home in 2 days. I said, okay, we'll pray. She come back the next service. 5 days gone by. I said, he ain't come home yet. She's desperate now. 10 days later, got a phone call. They found her son dead out in the field in Mauriceville, Texas. He'd been murdered. A guy was bush hogging his land. He found the body laying there in the grass. It's been there for 10 days. They wouldn't even let the mother come see the body to identify the body. They had to call the dad. Sister Freeman was our piano player. It was her son. I watched her. Listen, let me tell you something. As a pastor, I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to say. We're supposed to have all the answers, right? No. All I could say is, I'm praying for you, sis. I could weep and cry with her. There wasn't much I could say. All I could do is just weep and cry with her and bombard heaven, get a hold of God. That's all. Like, we go and visit her. She didn't want to be around nobody. She didn't want the pastor by. You ever been there? Where you don't want nobody around you. I've been there, even as a preacher. But you know what? I watched her life. She'd come to church. She'd come through those doors right at church time. She'd march up and get on that piano. She wouldn't say hi or bye or anything to anybody. But she'd come to that piano. There ain't much I could say to her. I could tell the depression and the trial and the unexpected cross is so heavy. But I can tell you, Brother Hurst, she never missed a service. She was there every Sunday morning. She was there every Sunday night. She was there every Wednesday night. She'd get off the piano after altar call when the last person was praying, because that's the procedure at our church when we pastored. Amen. Oh, she'd leave. Right, she wouldn't say bye to anybody. She'd go back to her house. All we could do is believe God to give her victory. Sister Freeman, are you going to make it? Amen. Well, I end up leaving the church because God called us out. I want to tell you, beloved, today she's still serving God. She's still faithful to God. She can raise her hands. Oh, yeah. You know, I don't understand it. I remember going through a trial and I remember the Lord showed me something. He says it's a lot easier to live with the question than it is the answer. Does that make a lot of sense? Yes, it does. Because sometimes I don't want to know the answer. If I had all the answers, I wouldn't need faith. Some of you sitting here tonight want to know the answer to every question. That's not God's way. Amen. You look through God's pen in the Bible. They live with question. Amen. Job, he don't know why he went through what he went through. Hallelujah. But I just got to have faith in God that I'm going to make it through that unexpected cross. You can make it, beloved. I said you can make it. Hallelujah. Oh, you got a doctor's report. Say, I don't know if you're going to make it. But all that unexpected cross, just say, God, I'm going to trust you. I don't know the answer. The only answer I've got is Jesus. Hallelujah. That's the only thing I can give you, beloved. It's Jesus. He's the only answer. That's the only answer I've got. Because some of you have gone through things that I've never been through. Hey, amen. It's unusual for me to preach like this. But God's talking to us tonight. That unexpected cross. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes right now. Somewheres where the place of Simon received that cross and Calvary, Jesus said, I'm going to take it from here. I'm going to take it from here. It's mine, son. You don't have to bear it any longer. It's just something. If you're here tonight, you say, Brother Talbert, I'm bearing an unexpected cross. I need prayer tonight. Would you pray for me? Raise your hand right now. Come on, raise your hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. I know in a crowd like his, it's easy to hit somebody like that. Amen. But I'm telling you, God's help. I want to help somebody tonight. You say, preacher, I'm bearing that unexpected cross right now. I need prayer. Would you pray for me tonight? Come on. Raise your hand right now. We're waiting on you. Hallelujah. Yes, I see that hand. Yes. Hallelujah. I don't know if I can go any further. I don't know if I can make it any longer. Hallelujah. You can make it. Because he preached this morning, God will make a way of escape for you. Hallelujah. My God's able. If you'll just stay faithful. Beloved, your family's watching you. Your children are watching you. Your church family's watching you. How are you going to react? You need to stand up and say, God, I'm going to make it through this. You're going to help me, Lord. You're going to help me bear my burden. Who else? Pray for me, preacher. That's me tonight. Raise your hand right now. Come on, we're waiting on you. Yes, I see that hand. Yes, I see that hand. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Listen, if you're not saved tonight, tonight's the night for you to be saved. If you're not saved tonight, you need Jesus in your life. Say, pray for me tonight, preacher. Raise your hand right now. I need him in my life right now. Hallelujah, we'll wait on you a few seconds here. Glory be to God. Yes, I see that hand. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I want you to stand to your feet right now. Oh, Jesus, have your way, Lord. There were several raised their hand. I want everyone that will make your way to this altar right now. And those that raise their hand, begin to mingle in. Come on. Amen. You know somebody may be going through something right now. Find that person and begin to pray for them tonight. Come on, beloved. Oh, that unexpected cross. You can make it tonight. Hallelujah. There is a place of deliverance for you. Oh, Jesus. Come on, come on, church. Hallelujah. Let's find a place. Some of you are bearing an unexpected cross. It's getting too heavy for you. Oh, God's going to help you tonight. He's going to give you victory tonight in this house. Yes, Jesus.
You deliver me. Oh, yes. You deliver me.
Come on, yes. Yes. Simon, how'd you make it? How'd you make it, Simon? Oh, you can go on tonight. You're going to make it, beloved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. Let's find that place of prayer if you can. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, victory's yours, beloved. Oh, you got a doctor's report. Oh, maybe a job situation you didn't expect, but God's going to help you. A friend rejected you. Oh, yes, Lord. A spouse walked out on you. Jesus, have your way. Have your way tonight.
Lord, you deliver me. God will make a way.
Oh, yes, he will. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Oh, let's cry out to this altar. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
He will make a road when you bear a heavy load. For I know God will make a way.
Oh, yes, he will. Yes, he will. Hallelujah, God. Give
yes,
that one determination tonight.
He will make
give that one determination tonight, God. Oh, to press on in. Come on, beloved. Hallelujah. Oh, the word. Let it come alive
forever.
In your soul. As God has dealt with this morning tonight. Yes, you can make it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There have been others that have gone ahead of us. We have so great a cloud of witness. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, you know, Lord.
God will make a way.
Oh, let him make it for you tonight. Yes, Lord.
Don't you know that God, he will make a way.
there seems to be no way. Forever, yes, he's so faithful, and he will make you a road when you bear a heavy load. Yes, he will, for I know